नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग दिस सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम द बुक भक्त्यालोका which talks about, which is a series of essays written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur on the six favorable and six unfavorable items for progressing on the path of devotional service, in which we are currently discussing six favorable items. We have already discussed the six unfavorable items. So amongst the six favorable items, we are discussing the fourth one, which means essentially we are discussing the 10th essay, which is about tattat karma pravartanat. Tattat karma pravartanat means engaging in are prescribed according to one's qualification. Because we are qualified for practicing devotional service, the duties which are prescribed to us as sadhakas are the 64 items which are mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. So in this context, we have been discussing the 64 items, in which we have the first 20 items are said to be the door to devotional service. These 20 items are essential non-negotiable items. So the first 10 are the do's, the next 10 are the don'ts. So we have already completed the first 10 do's. We have been discussing the next 10 don'ts. I think we completed the don'ts also. I think we crossed beyond 20. Let us just check. Just mention the items just for recollection purpose. So the 11th limb that we discussed was Shri Krishna Vimukha Jana Sangatyaga, giving up the association of those opposed to Krishna. We had an elaborate discussion on this. And then the next limb is Shishyadi Ananubanditvam, not being attached to making many unqualified disciples just to increase the number. So this is the 12th. And the 13th limb is Bahugrantha Kalabhyasa Vyakya Vada Vivarjanam. Reading too many books which are not connected to Krishna consciousness, just for purpose of livelihood or for defeating others in arguments, for these kind of purposes. And the 14th limb is that engaging bahu arambadi anudyama, maha arambadi anudyama. Not being interested in engaging in huge projects, big projects, which may distract one from one's spiritual goals. This was the 14th limb. Then we discussed the 15th limb, which is Vyavahare Api Akarpanyam, not feeling too miserable materially. And when one reaches very miserable state, not engaging in degrading acts under distressing circumstances. So this is the 15th limb. Then we discussed the 16th limb, Shokadi Ashavartita, meaning not being controlled by extreme emotions. Because whenever we get carried away by extreme emotions, like anger, lamentation, it completely blocks our ability to focus on Krishna. Because extreme emotions are generally rajoguni and tamoguni, and extreme emotions are extreme rajas or extreme tamas. And extreme rajas or extreme tamas will strongly block our ability to focus on the goal of life. Focus on meditation on Krishna. So, basically, one should, before it escalates to a very extreme state of emotion, one should in the beginning only try sort of address these emotions in such a way that they do not escalate into very extreme levels where it becomes absolutely impossible for us to even take shelter of Krishna. So this, Srila Rupa Goswami says, has to be practiced as a sadhana, right? As a sadhana, as a lifestyle, it should become our lifestyle. So then the 17th limb that we discussed was Anya Devan Avagya. Even though bhakti is Anya Bilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam, one should worship only Krishna, and there is such a strict emphasis on only worship Krishna, but that does not give us a license to disrespect the other devatas. And what to speak of disrespecting devatas, one should not disrespect even any living entity for that matter. One should not be inflicting pain on any other living entities. And then the 19th limb that we discussed was avoiding seva aparad and nama aparad. And then the 20th limb that we discussed was not tolerating criticism of the Lord or his devotees. You know, this was the 20th limb that we discussed. And then 21st limbs. So the next, this brings us to the end of the 20 limbs. So the first 20 limbs that we discussed are either they are limbs which either change our value system or our lifestyle. They are not limbs which will specifically take any separate time from us for performance. They change our lifestyle in such a favorable way that they are time-saving limbs. They are not time-consuming limbs, but they are time-saving limbs actually. They will change our lifestyle in such a favorable way that we will have additional time for performing many, many Krishna conscious activities or even our professional activities. We did a small exercise on the first limbs that how they don't take additional time, but actually they save time for us by making our lifestyle and our value system in such a proper alignment with our ultimate goal that it takes away all kind of useless time which we may actually uselessly spend and waste actually, like that. So then other limbs, starting from 21st limb onwards, Vaishnava Chinna Dhriti, wearing the marks of a Vaishnava like a Tulasi Mala, a Tilak, and so on. And Namakshara Dhriti, you know, writing even the names of Radharani, Krishna, and various names of Krishna. You know, whenever, you know, after we apply Tilak, if we lift our Tilak, we can write on our bodies the names of the Lord also. That is one of the limbs of devotional service. Nirmalya Dhriti. So Nirmalya Dhriti is wearing the garlands used by the Lord. We had an elaborate discussion on this time. Then Agre Tandavam, dancing before the deity, is also one of the important limbs of the Lord. And Dandavat Natihi, offering obeisances to the Lord and the devotees, all of that. As we saw, most of the limbs which are mentioned here in connection with Krishna, those very same limbs are applicable with respect to devotees also, right? So in this way, we had completed 25 limbs the last time we met. Today, we will start with the 26th limb onwards. But if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions based on what we have discussed till now, whatever we have summarized today also, if there is anything that you would like to share as add, you can please go ahead. Okay. Hari Prasad Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Able to hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Prabhuji, In one place, you remember, I remember you had spoken this verse, Yadrishta Nikilaga Sanga Samani Sprishta Vapuh Pavani. This is a Tulsi Maharani prayer we do. So this verse looks like this verse is written for someone who is having, if you remember, Rogana Mabhivanta. So those who do namaskar to Tulsi Maharani, their rogas will go away. So these kinds of things are written. So is this for the devotee? It's not for devotees, no?
Is this verse relevant to devotees? Yes. How? Because we, to offer, to touching Tulsi Maharani is not a big thing. Taking darshan of Tulsi Maharani is not a big thing. But how much she is eager to serve those persons who actually do such insignificant things for her. Actually, she does not need water also. She does not need our water. She does not need our touch. She does not need our obeisances. But still, she becomes so much sold out. She is willing to do anything for her devotees. So in that way, it enhances a kind of gratitude and affection towards Tulsi Maharani. Not that we offer obeisances to her so that our diseases go away. We don't do it for that purpose. But seeing how eager she is to remove all kinds of obstacles from the life of a devotee, it just is expected to enhance our gratitude towards Tulsi Maharani, that's all. But we don't do it for that purpose.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mohit Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. Can you hear me, Prabhuji?
Can hear you. Yes.
Anji. Yes, Prabhuji, I have a question, Prabhuji. When we go to Vrindavan, in gate, they put a mark on our cheeks like Radhe Radhe. And we were in market, they sold t-shirts of Radhe Radhe, name and picture. So can we wear Radhe Radhe name t-shirts also? Because I had experience in my first tour to Vrindavan with ISKCON, I wear a t-shirt of Radhe Radhe name. And some senior devotees told me that it is wrong to wear Radhe Radhe t-shirt. So can we wear that, Prabhuji? And
well, we don't, in one sense, there is nothing wrong as an individual to wear. But in one sense, when we wear it that way, we may set, because Prabhupada has never to chant Radhe, even though it is not wrong, but yes, as just to chant Hare Krishna. So if you are a very new person and you wear, that is a different thing. But if you have spent some time and then you wear, and new people looking at you, they may think that, oh, then which means we can chant Radhe Radhe also. Like that, they may take multiple different, they may take it in a different way. So therefore, unnecessarily, but there are some other sampradaya people who may chant Radhe Radhe like that. So unnecessarily, we don't want to confuse anyone. So considering those factors, it is not wrong to wear the t-shirt. There is nothing inherently wrong in doing that. But in doing that, we may unnecessarily confuse other people. So for that purpose, the senior devotees would have told.
Okay, thank you, Prabhuji. And another question, Prabhuji. There are five important limbs of devotional service. You told that there is one predominance in that. So, like devotee.
Yeah, we have not come to that. We are going to discuss this toward the end of this.
Okay. Another question, Prabhuji. Like in Mathura, there is one limb. You told that we go to Dwarka and we take. In next birth, we go in Vaikuntha. If somebody go to Dwarka and do some, after that, he again indulge in sinful activities. So
we have not yet discussed those limbs yet. Those limbs are coming little later.
Okay, okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Right. Okay. So, yes, Monica Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Ah, yes, ma'am.
I want to ask about 20th limbs. A few days back, I had done the same mistake. I heard blasphemy about God. Not clearly blasphemy, but my brother said me that you are wasting lot of time in serving Krishna, and it is not very very realistic. And when you come in touch with the reality of this world, you will feel miserable that you wasted your time. I have heard everything, but I didn't left and didn't do anything. So what can I do?
This is not exactly blasphemy. This is this is probably your brother expressing his concern for you.
Yeah, because he is too much enthusiastic about business and money, so he thinks this is the best of money, and in future it will be very problematic for me, because I cannot do many material things by performing this every what can I say this devotional duties.
And in that way, see, one thing is that is not exactly blasphemy, because his purpose is not to blaspheme. His purpose is he is concerned about his sister, that she should not be wasting her time. Because he does not have an appreciation for devotional service, he is concerned that you are wasting your time. So you accept that concern from a brother and leave it like that.
Yeah, but it
time onwards,
will down my
when
moral.
He is there, or because he is discouraging you, it moralizes you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that case, because you are mostly seeing only your own family members who are not having interest in spiritual life, therefore. It definitely is a little bit demoralizing. That is why association of devotees is very important. When you see only four people in your house throughout the day and all four of them are not practicing Krishna consciousness, it is demoralizing, because you don't get any encouragement. But if you come to temple, you see practically everyone is enthusiastically engaging in devotional service. So it revalidates your enthusiasm. You feel very validated. Yes, my interest in devotional service is a valid desire. So when once in a while you keep getting that association, then whenever at home, when someone is demoralizing you, you will not get demoralized, because you have already seen so many people enthusiastically engaging in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, whenever possible, if you can, if physically, if you are not able to take association, even now you see, you know, even virtually through Zoom, you know, I know at least, you know, in this group of people, about 19 devotees are attending. I know at least three of them who are doctors. And I know at least two of them who are from IIT. And very... you know, I know them personally. So they all are very materially doing well, but have such interest in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, spending 2 hours hearing these kind of things, it takes a lot of time. So when you see that there are people around this world who are materially also doing quite well, but at the same time, they are prioritizing Krishna consciousness also, hearing and chanting. That way you feel enthused. So that when you go home and see that your parents or your brother are speaking in a way as if indicating that you're wasting your time, it will not demoralize you so much, because you have already seen the quite academically and professionally quite well-to-do people taking out so much time for hearing and chanting Lord Krishna's names and his pastimes like that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, so if there are no further discussion points or questions, then we will move ahead to the next limb of devotional service, which is Abhyuttanam. So Abhyuttanam means rising when the deity approaches. So Yanarudam Purapreksha Samayantam Janardanam Abhyuttanam Narakurvan Patayet Sarvakilvisham. So Abhyuttanam means whenever the deity approaches, we have to get up and receive the deity. Because even if a senior comes, we get up. Then what to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The deity form of the Lord is non-different from the Supreme Lord. So when the deity approaches, one has to get up. So Brahmanda Puran says, Kurvan Naraha, a person who rises up, Praprekshya, when he sees that in front of him, Samayantam Janardhanam, that the Supreme Lord is approaching him. When he sees the Supreme Lord approaching him, Yanarudam on a palanquin, Payet Sarvakilbisham. So one who gets up immediately on seeing the Supreme Lord approaching, he destroys all his sins. As I mentioned before, I will again repeat it once. I will try not to repeat it again and again. Even though in all these verses, we may be seeing many different fruits or results mentioned here. It is for attracting many different categories of people. But when devotees follow any of these limbs, the only result that they get is they will progress towards the lotus feet of Krishna. And whatever obstacles are there in approaching the lotus feet of Krishna, they will get removed. Other than that, for example, it says that all their sins are destroyed. So all their sins for a devotee, when he starts practicing devotional service, at that moment only all his sins are destroyed. So we don't stand in front of the deities whenever the deities come in order to destroy our sins. The moment we decided to practice devotional service, at that moment only all our sins are destroyed. But this is for those people who devotional service, but they are somewhat devotionally inclined. To attract such people, these kind of statements are made. But for us, we have to understand, even though we will be discussing the 64 limbs, and in each of these limbs, some verse will be quoted which will give different fruits for practicing that limb. But we should understand there is only one fruit. That is, we will take one step closer to attaining the lotus feet of Krishna. There is no other thing that is guaranteed. Of course, Kleshagni, Shubhada, all those things happen. Right? That those naturally happen when one practices devotional service. But the specific fruits that are mentioned in that particular verse may not necessarily apply to us. Right? So, like that. So, at this, even though I have mentioned it many times, I am mentioning it one more time so that, don't get really, sort of that the focus of all verses that is mentioned here is not on the fruit. The only fruit that we will get is we will come closer to Krishna's lotus feet. That's all. Okay. And for that purpose, sometimes Krishna may give us some disease. Sometimes he may give us some happiness. He may remove our disease. He may give us disease. He may remove our problems. He may give us fresh problems. Whatever it is. you know, whatever may. But the point is that it is personally given by Krishna. So no other no other result is guaranteed except for our approaching closer to the lotus feet of Krishna, like that. This is the 26th. Any quick discussion points, comments on the 26th limb? Okay. 27th limb. Let's move on to the 27th limb, which is Anuvrajya, means following after the Lord's session. So when the Lord is moving on his palanquin, or on a chariot, to follow the Lord's procession is one of the important limbs of devotional service. So Bhavishyottara Puran says, Rateha gacchanti parshvataha prushtato agrataha Vishnu naiva sama sarve bhavanti shvapachadayaha. He says, sarve shvapachadayaha, all the outcasts, ratena saha gacchanti, who go along with the chariot, beside, behind or in front of it, parshvataha prushto agrataha. Agrataha means in the front. Prushtato means behind. Parshvataha means along the side. Vishnuna eva sama bhavanti, they become similar to Vishnu, which means they develop very godly qualities, right? Okay. Gauranga Purushottam Prabhu, you have typed Hare Krishna. Is there any specific reason? Did you have a question or something? Okay. Anyways, so this is the 27th limb. Any questions, comments? Okay, let's do one thing, because we are going to one after another keep reading more and more limbs. I will not pause. If you have a question, you please raise your hands, and then we will take the discussion. The 28th limb is called as Sthane Gatihi. So Sthane Gatihi means going to places of the Lord. Okay, just hold on. Going to the places of the Lord. Okay. Okay. Give me a second. There was some problem. Let me just open. Just give me one second. There was some problem with the PowerPoint. It just closed. I'm just opening it. Yes. Okay. So the next one is Sthane Gatihi. So Sthane Gatihi means visiting places which are connected to the Lord. So here Srila Rupa Goswami says that sthanam teertham griham cha asya tatra teerte gatiryata. So he says that sthanam means teertha or temple. Teertham cha asya griham. Asya Griham means that the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is temple. Okay. Sthana means going to a Tirtha or a temple. Tatra Tirthe Gatiryata. First, illustrate going to a Tirtha. Okay. He's going to describe. He's going to give a proof for that. Yes, Gauranga Purushottam Prabhu.
Yes, Praji. Praji, in this last 27, limbs, we are describing when somebody is following the procession of a Lord, they will be removed from the all the sins. So is this just only following, or they have the faith in the Lord, so that will act?
Yeah, it has every, as a devotee, we have to do it with faith only.
But those non-devotee, those who are just following this procession,
they will get some sukriti by doing that.
Yes, thank you.
Right. Okay. So, he's giving a proof for going to the places of the Lord. Samsara maru kantara nistara karanakshamau shlagyau taveva charanau yau hares tirtha gaminau. So, this is which exact Purana it is not mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami. It says, charanau, those 2 feet, yau hares tirtha gaminau, which go to the tirtha of the Lord, taveva shlagyau, they are certainly praiseworthy. Why? Nistarakshamau, because they enabled one to cross over samsara marukantara. They enabled one to cross over the dangerous desert of samsara. Because they enabled one to cross over the dangerous desert of samsara, those feet which carry one to the tirtha of the Lord, they are praiseworthy. That. And this is going to the tirtha. He says sthana means tirtha and griha. Sthana means tirtha and temple. So going to the tirtha was the proofs given from some Purana. And going to the temple as a limb of devotional service is quoted from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. So he says that pravishan alayam vishnor shanartam subaktiman na bhoyaha pravishen matu kukshikara graham sudihi. So he says the intelligent person who enters the temple of Lord Vishnu, for what purpose? Darshanartam. With the desire to take darshan of the Lord, subhaktiman, with devotion to see the Lord. So that person who enters the temple of Vishnu with devotion to see the Lord, na bhuyah pravishet matuh kukshi karagraham, that person does not have to again enter the mother's womb. Like that. Yeah. So, this is a verse from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. Okay. 29th limb. The 29th limb is parikrama. Parikrama means to circumambulate the Lord. So, this is again proof given from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. So, the verse says, Vishnum pradakshini kurvan yas tatra avartate punaha tad eva avartanam navartate bhave. The verse says, yaha Vishnum pradakshini kurvan. So pradakshini kurvan means to circumambulate by keeping that object towards your right, on your right. So when you go around the temple and circumambulate either the temple or Srila Prabhupada or Garbhagraha or whatever, you always, if you will see, that place will be towards on your right hand side. So that is the meaning of pradakshina. Why do we call it as pradakshina? Pradakshina because you always keep the object you are circumambulating to your right, because that is considered to be auspicious, right? So if a person circumambulates Vishnu, tatra avartate punaha, and returns back to the same spot from where he started that circumambulation, tadeva atanam, that returning back to that same spot, tasya puna avartate bhave, ensures that person does not have to return back to this material world. So, that is the power of performing circumambulation of the deity of the Lord, of the temple of the Lord, of the dham also. వీడు గిరిరాజ్ పరిక్రమ, వీడు వృందావన్ పరిక్రమ. సో దీస్ ఆర్ లైక్ వెరీ పొటెంట్ లింబ్స్. అఫ్ కోర్స్ ఎనీ లింబ్ ఇస్ యాజ్ పొటెంట్ టు ది ఎక్స్టెంట్ టు విచ్ వీ హ్యావ్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ పర్ఫార్మింగ్ దట్ లింబ్. So any limb is as potent as the faith that we have. Ashraddaya hutam dattam tapastattam kritam chayat asaditi uchyate partha nachatat prityanoiha. So any activity of either sacrifice or even devotional activities, if it is performed without faith, then it is as good as not performing it, because it will not give any result either in this life or next life. Right? So many of these activities which are mentioned here, the activity is as potent as the faith that we invest in performing those activities. So therefore, the most priceless commodity is faith. Janma koti sukrutairna labhyate. So therefore, the essence of discussing all these limbs is that do whatever is possible to enhance the faith in performing any of these limbs, and try to avoid all those activities which can potentially compromise our faith in any of these activities. So therefore, because the limb is potent only to the extent that we have faith in that particular limb. So rest is all, rest of the fruits that are mentioned in this verse are all details. It is all details. So it is just to enhance our faith, that's all. So, and then another verse he is quoting here. This is from the Skanda Puran. Chaturvaram Brahmibhistu Jagat Sarvam Characharam Krantam Bhavati Vipragriya Tattirtha Gamanadikam. So he says, O Vipragriya, O best of the Brahmanas, Chaturvaram Brahmibhi, those who circumambulate the Lord four times, Jagat Sarvam Characharam Krantam Bhavi, they surpass the world of moving and non-moving creatures, which means they attain liberation. Tat Tirtha Gamanadikam. So this circumambulating the Lord is considered to be superior even to the limb of going to Tirthas. So it is better. So here Srila Goswami comments, he says, circumambulation of the deity is superior to visiting the Tirthas, because it more quickly produces devotion to the Lord than going to the Tirthas such as the Ganga. You know, we may go to the holy rivers, we may want to visit the holy rivers, but circumambulating the deities is considered to be more potent. This is certainly these kind of statements are there in the Shastras, they are not meant to discourage people from performing that particular limb. So this mention is not to discourage people from going to Tirthas. So it is just to enhance one's faith in a particular limb. So like, for example, the Shastra say, Dhaprasad, which is offered to the Supreme Lord, it gives 1,000 times more benefit than fasting. This is a statement, right? But this kind of a comparison does not discourage people from fasting on Ekadashis. So one should not quote these states and say that, look, clearly the Shastras say that honoring the Mahaprasada of the Supreme Lord is more beneficial is 1000 times beneficial than fasting. So therefore, one should not fast on Ekadashis. One should actually honor Mahaprasad on Ekadashis as much as possible. This is not the conclusion. Right? So therefore, the even to understand the statements of the Shastras, that is why helplessly dependent on the explanation of the Acharyas and the exalted devotees. Otherwise, it is very easy to understand, you know, right? I did not make up this statement. Actually, this example is given by Srila Jiva Goswami himself in one of his commentaries. He says that, yeah, there are statements in the Shastras very clearly indicating that to honor Mahaprasad is better than fasting. That does not mean that the Shastras are discouraging people from fasting on Janmashtami, fasting on Ekadashi. So one should understand statements in the right context. And how do we know which is the right context? The context that the Acharyas reveal, that is the right context. So therefore, here it is mentioned that to circumambulate the deities, then is more potent than actually visiting the Tirthas. Certainly, this is not to discourage devotees from going to Tirthas. That's okay. I just wanted to look. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as at Mother Gita?
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Thank you. Yeah, a few things. This word, pradakshina, is that completely synonymous with circumambulation?
No.
Is it only when, you know, you keep the worshipable object to your right that it's called pradakshina? And yeah, come to the same point? That's the distinction?
Yes.
Okay. Then another thing is, you know, there were a couple limbs, I don't remember if it was 27 and 28 or 28 and 29, where if you perform those limbs, you will not have to take birth
again. Yeah.
Again, or you won't have to come back to this material world or take birth in the mother's womb. So I know, I think we discussed this before, but is it that, again, this is to entice those who are not yet ready to take up bhakti yoga?
Yeah, pure devotional service. Yes.
Yeah, you're saying that this doesn't really apply to those who are engaged in pure devotional service.
Yeah, because we do understand that through practicing bhakti, we reach the stage of prema and realize our spiritual form and swarupa, till then our birth material world will continue.
Mm-hmm.
And birth may not be orchestrated by law of karma, that may be personally orchestrated by Krishna. That is another. But birth is there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So this guarantee is not there for devotees.
Yes.
Devotees will remain till actually we attain perfection.
Yes. But I'm wondering, though, how is it even possible for, or especially for non-devotees who are, you know, they're not engaged in pure devotional service and they are engaged in fruitive activities. So how is it possible for such people to not take birth again in this world?
Well,
their very lives are like entangling them by karma.
But when they choose to when they choose to accept this limb of devotional service and with full faith they perform this limb of devotional service, then this limb, a limb of devotional service, is more powerful than a limb of karma. So So definitely on the strength of faith in a limb of devotional service, they are not going to get prem because of that, but at least liberation can be guaranteed. Or by performing that amount of faith, they may get sukriti, and that sukriti, when it becomes in devotional service, not taking birth means not taking a birth which is controlled by karma. So that's why in one they will no longer get their birth is not controlled by karma. So they don't get that kind of birth which is controlled by karma. So that guarantee is also there. So it all depends on faith, how much you have. So it's not, faith is not black and so there are multiple shades of gray between black and white, and depending on how intense our faith is performing that limb, to that extent we will get the result of practice.
This is another question I had, that the limb says if you practice with full feet, you will not take birth again. But, okay, there's different degrees of faith, but not taking birth again, that seems to be a black and white situation, black or white situation. Either you take birth again or you don't, right?
Yes, correct.
So then I don't know how that will be reconciled with, let's say, a person's degree of faith. If you have, 70% faith, do you take birth again or not?
You do. Because you 30%, you have faith. So
in other words, what effect is the 70% having on a person if they were going to have to take birth again? What's the result of that 70%?
So he will not see what benefit he's getting, he'll get benefit. So because Krishna is very kind. So he will definitely reward him. And the reward is that he will come closer to developing pure devotional faith. Or Krishna, in performing all these limbs, the person come in touch with a devotee who has pure faith. And in that association, he also develop pure faith. And that is the greatest benefit. So, faith, the commodity of faith is the most valuable thing, which is much more valuable, is million times more valuable than liberation also. Because that faith can lead you to re-establish our constitutional position of serving Krishna, which is the most blissful situation for a jiva. So
the person who, it almost seems therefore that a person who has 100% faith in the limb is worse off than a person who has only partial faith in the limb, because the one with 100% faith, he is just going to get liberation. He's not going to. Whereas a person with only partial faith, he is, out of Krishna's kindness, he will make him, maybe bring him to a pure devotee. And, whereas the other person, he's just, all he got was liberation.
In one sense, it's a very hypothetical presentation. Then the question is, how did that person get 100% faith in following this statement? That question also is actually. So yes. From where did he get the 100% faith? So because any faith in anything comes from experience. So, and that the degree of faith that we have in everything depends on the degree and intensity of favorable experience that we have had. Mm-hmm. So which means if he is willing to invest 100% faith in that particular statement, then he must have had significant favorable experiences which must have added and led him to have 100% faith in that particular statement of this scripture. So, which means if he has had that many experiences at that time, with all those collective experiences, it's very likely that that person may come closer to having pure devotional faith. Even not, if by providence he does not get to meet pure devotees, his only mixed devotional faith gets nourished more and more, at least he will come to a stage where he has 100% mixed devotional faith, then still he will get liberation. So we are very hypothetically telling that if someone has 100%, as if to have 100% faith is purely dependent on our choice. So it's not that, okay, I choose to have 100% faith. It's not like that, actually. So that 100% faith or any percentage of faith depends on our experience, prior experience. So to develop 100% faith in everything, one should have significant favorable prior experience to reach that stage, actually.
Do you know whether such a person with 100% faith, what kind of liberation he would get? Is it impersonal liberation?
Well, it depends on the fear. So in that case, it depends on the nature of his faith. What he is aspiring after. So if his aspiration, if his conception of liberation is impersonal, and if his degree of vision is very weak, then he will get impersonal liberation. If the degree of devotion is very prominent, he will get personal liberation. If the degree of devotion is pure, then he will get prema.
Mm-hmm. Okay, boy, very much a gray situation, spectrum.
Yeah.
yeah. Just one last thing is...
Actually, if you see the intent of Krishna, there is nothing greater. If you see intent of Krishna. Uh-huh. The Krishna's intent is pure white.
Yeah, but ours isn't. So that's what makes it so...
Yeah. So even though ours is not, but still Krishna wants to, that Krishna is extending is so that slowly it can become, because Krishna wants to give the highest benefit. So as much as possible, Krishna try in such a way that we don't settle down for any lower benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If you are adamant, he will give us the lower benefit. Mm-hmm. So any of these limbs, Krishna's wishful thinking is that, okay, by the time you develop that 100% faith in limb, hopefully you will get to meet devotees, and the devotees will completely whitewash your heart so that you aspire for Krishna prema. And mm-hmm. then I am ready to award it to you immediately the moment you circumambulate me with that 100% faith asking for Krishna prema. But if he is unfortunate and he does not, his heart does not get whitewashed, it remains mixed devotional faith, but when it reaches 100%, then Krishna says, well, I should fulfill my promise. May you get impersonal liberation, what you want. So from Krishna's side, Krishna is very clear. My desire is to award you something which is best. I am dependent on the devotees for that. But if you are not fortunate enough to get the association of devotees, and if your desires remain mixed, that's what award you. Krishna awards.
Well, he said, if you're not fortunate enough, but I mean, Krishna is the one who determined that, isn't it? You just said, right, that Krishna says that if you're not fortunate enough to come in contact with devotees, pure devotees, uh-huh. But Krishna is the one who determines whether you come in.
Well, in one sense, yes, Krishna determines, but he does not personally orchestrate that. He leaves that to the devotees. That is completely the discretion of the devotees.
True. Yeah. Okay, just one or two last things is that there are certain limbs that, because you made the statement that these limbs, the potency of them depend on the person's faith in them. Mm-hmm. But then I've also understood that there are certain limbs that don't depend on your faith. They're purely spiritual, regardless of your faith in them, like chanting, like deity worship. So, you know, do we have a list of the limbs that don't require faith?
No, I mean, I don't ever remember telling that there are some limbs which are not dependent on faith at all.
I'm thinking of these three categories. There's Arop Siddha Bhakti, there's Sangha Siddha Bhakti, Swarup Siddha Bhakti. You know, there are these three categories. Whereas Swarup Siddha Bhakti, that kind of bhakti, like chanting, like deity worship, that they're spiritual activities, regardless of
in one sense. Well, not really.
Regardless of the consciousness with which you do those activities, they are completely spiritual. That's my understanding.
Yeah, yeah. But without faith, you chant, you will not get Krishna prema.
So I guess I'm.
You will get some result, but that result will not be. Then in that case, then why we are talking about Nama, Bhas, chanting, Aparad, Nam, and Shuddha Nam? So does chanting with Aparad and chanting purely, they are not going to give the same result.
So then what does that mean, though, that certain activities, regardless of your consciousness, they are spiritual activities, whereas others, like you have to project your consciousness onto them in order for it to be spiritual?
Well, I mean, I don't ever remember making such a statement.
All these
four limbs, in my understanding, they can be performed without faith. They can be performed with faith. They can be performed offenseless. They can be performed with offenses. I mean, in either way, all these 64 limbs, they do have some effect. They do give some benefit, either in any ways it is performed. But when performed free of offenses, in a pure way, with pure faith, it gives Krishna prema. So this is true with all these 64 limbs.
Mm-hmm.
That is my understanding.
Okay, but I think, you know, I've been taking too much time. Maybe we can continue offline. Just, you know, in terms of circumambulation, let's say of Tulsi Maharani, we see, you know, for this production, I think, we see that people sometimes as they're circumambulating Tulsi, they at one point they twirl, you know?
Yeah.
What is that about?
I mean, I have seen it. I don't personally do it, but I've seen many devotees do But somehow, I never felt very... I think once or twice I did ask people, either they have told that they don't know we do it just because everyone is doing it, or I think that some of them told, no, when we are coming towards Prabhupada, we don't want to show our back to Prabhupada, that's why we do like that. I don't know. I have no idea, Madhul. I have heard many things, but I don't know for sure whether we should do it or if we have to do it, why we do it, you know. Yeah, I have not received a very convincing answer yet. Maybe okay, I can try asking more people and I can let you.
No, that's a good enough answer for me. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Monica Mataji.
Hare Krishna, you said that without interest or without faith you follow any limb, it will not give any result. So
it will give minimal result.
Minimal result. So is it okay to follow some of the limbs and get excellence in that limb and skip some limbs in which you don't have that much faith or any interest or...
In one sense, what you say is correct. Agree with your point. But in another sense, there is a deeper question here. Why do you have more faith in some limb and less faith in other limbs? Because the faith in any limb of devotional service have to come from the devotional scriptures. Right? The books, the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, glorifying all these limbs of devotional service. Our faith in the limbs come from the scriptures. So, if we have full faith in the scriptures, then we should have the same amount of faith in all the limbs of devotional service. Now, what you probably mean is that I like some of the limbs more than the other limbs. You know, I like to hear more than to chant, or I like chanting more than to worship the deities, or maybe yes, I like worshiping I like, deities. So you're not talking like about to, faith.
I so, like to so, watch deities because maybe my conditioning is that I like beauty, so I like to watch deities. So circumambulation is not very much pleasing to me. Maybe okay, it is the fine. Reason.
So the point is, our foundational faith in any of these limbs comes from our faith in the scriptures, right? So, and it is not coming from sentiments, right? But our liking for particular limbs of devotional service comes very much from our sentiments. So, now, basically, if I have to rephrase your question is it okay if more than the other limbs, and if I like those limbs, can I engage in those limbs more than those other limbs which I may not like so much? Is that your question?
Yes.
Correct. Yes, you are allowed to do that. Whatever limb you like more, you can engage with that. No problem.
Okay, thank you so much.
Hari Prasad too.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I mean, just through the discussions with last two devotees, I'm just finding out that interest or focus, all this is different from faith, right? That's what I understand. Faith is different from the interest and liking.
Basically, faith in any of these limbs, at least in the very preliminary stage, comes from faith in the literatures only, right? So, circumambulating the deity is a very important limb of Bhagavad Gita. It's a very important limb of devotional service. Why? Because Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, so you have faith in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then you have faith in that limb of devotional service. Right? Or to the extent you have faith in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, to that extent you have faith in that limb of devotional service. Okay? This is preliminary. Then subsequently, when you perform these limbs, then from the reciprocation that you receive by performance of those limbs, further the faith gets enhanced. But that is at a later stage. But in the beginning stage, the faith to birth that limbs, those limbs, comes from the source of instruction, whether it may be Guru or Sadhu or Shastra. So if you have faith in Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, then you have faith in these instructions. Okay.
Yes. Prabhuji, faith...
Faith
is it necessary?
Liking. Another thing is liking. I may have a personal liking particular limb or a few particular limbs more than some other limbs. And I may wish to perform those limbs which I like more. That is perfect thing. That is agreeable.
This liking comes from conditioning, Prabhuji?
Yeah, liking comes from conditioning.
Okay.
In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami says that. In Bhaktira Samsindha only towards the end, he says, how is it that some people get attracted to performing some limbs more than the other limbs? Is it an indication of their constitutional position? Is it suggestive of their constitutional desire? Srila Rupa Goswami says, no, not necessarily. He says, Swavasana Anusaren. The attraction to particular limbs comes from their prior material vasanas. So if someone is very artistically, like Mataji had said, I appreciate beauty. I like taking darshan of the deities. And Rupa Goswami says, perfect. That is the way in which anyone gets attracted to any limb of devotional service in the beginning stages. Eventually, you get attracted when you start experiencing very profound exchange reciprocations from performing these limbs. Then you develop a more deeper appreciation of these limbs. But in the initial stages, attraction swavasana again based on auditionings. Someone is very gifted singer. Someone is a very gifted singer, then there is a very good chance that they may get attracted to kirtanam. Is it wrong? Absolutely not. It's natural. But gradually when one starts experiencing more and more anarthana vritti, then a more deep-rooted attraction which is beyond the material conditioning one starts developing. But it is very natural that in the beginning stages one gets attraction to particular limbs based on their conditioning only, and it is very natural. Is that relevant?
Prabhuji, how come in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara we give a lot of focus on chanting? So how is it this is taking a special role here? If we have, there many other limbs are there. Why we are taking vow for 16 rounds? I just want to know this.
Because in Kali Yuga, especially chanting is the Yuga Dharma. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he is avatari himself, but in this Kali Yuga, he has also taken the role of the Yugavatar to propagate the Yuga Dharma. And because we have come in his parampara, we get very, very special condensed mercy through that limb of chanting the holy name. So, therefore, actually, some special emphasis is given on chanting the holy name, but that does not mean you are forbidden from pursuing any bona fide limb of your choice. That you are definitely you can do it. But having said that, in Kali Yuga, especially because Yuga Dharma, therefore, and also we are in especially in the parampara, where the avatari himself has doubled up as the yuga avatara and has propagated the yuga dharma. So therefore there is additional special mercy in that limb of chanting the holy name. That is why in our parampara there is sometimes seemingly some exclusive emphasis on chanting the holy name. But nevertheless, here, when Rupa Goswami writes about it, he says chanting is one of the five most potent limbs. There are four other most potent limbs. So therefore, is that relevant?
Yes, probably. Thank you very much. Very much.
Okay. There are some more questions in the chat box. Let me take some. What does it mean, wear beads on body? Can we wear our chanting beads on our hand or neck in illness? Yeah, we can wear. Not chanting beads. Chanting beads can be in chanting bag. You know, that's how Prabhupada has taught. But in other sampradayas, they do wear their chanting bags and chanting beads in their necks also. That is perfectly fine. It's not. Sampradaya, whatever Srila Prabhupada has taught, that's what we do. Okay, another question. According to my understanding, I observe if we do chanting and hearing sincerely, respect for the other limbs of devotional service automatically manifests the heart. Yeah, that is true. Because all these limbs are complementary limbs. They are not competing limbs. They don't compete with each other. So anyone who is very sincerely practicing deity worship will very naturally develop a taste for chanting the name of that personality whom he is serving very sincerely. And he will develop a very sincere desire to hear about that personality, his pastimes, his qualities, etc., whom he is serving sincerely. Right? And same, that if you are chanting the holy name of that person, and when that person manifests the form of his deity, wouldn't you want to serve him sincerely? If you are chanting the name of that personality, wouldn't you want to hear about his qualities, his pastimes, his form, which the Shastras describe? Like that. Okay. Monika Mataji?
Yes, so in the next slide, it is written that circumambulation has a very much potency. So is it that I must try to focus on circumambulation also? If it is helping me to increase my Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. So when you come to a temple, if you have 10 minutes to sit in the temple, it is going to take you 30 seconds to do one circumambulation. Do circumambulation. You stand in front of the deities, relish the beauty of the deities, which you like to do.
Okay, thank you.
Mother Gail.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Yeah, just two quick things. I too am very attached to the beauty of certain deities, and I spend a lot of time looking at pictures also. So do you see any difference in the between the potency of appreciating the beauty of deities in person and appreciating their beauty in photographs?
No, there is no difference. It depends on our mood, actually. So when you have an opportunity to take darshan in person, then you are still not attached to seeing the deity photographs only, right?
No, say again.
When you get an opportunity to take darshan of the deities in person, are you still attached to seeing the photographs only?
I mean, the attachment to both, I think, are the same.
Yeah, but let's say you are in You stay in New Jersey. I don't know. You go to the Tobacco yes. Temple. Which one you go?
Yeah, I mean, I used to. Yeah.
Yeah. So whichever temple you used to go to, let's say you're attached to those deities. So
yeah.
Now that you're templed, would you still be absorbed in taking darshan of the deity form through your photographs, or would you go and stand in front of the deity?
You mean, would I choose photographs over seeing them in person?
Yeah, if you have an opportunity for both, you're standing right in front of the deities and you have photographs, the same deity photographs in your hand.
Of course. Yeah, of course I would want to see them, you know, 3D.
Yeah, 3D, right? So that's, so Krishna knows that. So Krishna knows that right now you have your physical situation is such that you cannot take darshan of him 3D in the temple hall, but still you are so attached to his form that you are willing to take darshan of him through his photographs. Krishna is very pleased. So why would Krishna see a difference there? It depends on the mood.
Okay. And then when our devotional service is motivated or influenced by our conditioning, our vasanas, we would call that sentimental, isn't it?
Sentiments are not bad. It's not, see, I am attracted to beauty, but I am not, in one sense, just because I am attracted to, let's say, beautiful sculptures. So, but I am choosing to appreciate the beautiful sculptural workmanship of Krishna only. Mm-hmm. Not ordinary sculptures.
Yes. Yeah.
So within the realm of what is defined as the limb devotional service, if there is a scope for our life, there is ample scope for engaging according to our likes, and our likes are defined by our conditioning only. Uh-huh. Krishna is so cruel. When Krishna allows, when Krishna takes, when he has made the process of Kirtanavritti gradual, so it is very gradual process. The conditions get wiped out very gradually. So while they are getting wiped gradually, Krishna does not restrict the devotees from engaging in devotional activities which are meant for Krishna's pleasure, but which may simultaneously give the devotee also pleasure. So Krishna does not say that, no, if you like it, you should not do. Krishna does not say that. Because it is very natural that an activity which you like to do, it is very natural that you may perform it with lot of absorption. So when you then an activity which you may not like so much, that you may perform with very absorption.
Yeah.
So therefore, like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, sometimes the syllables drop. So you mention one word when something is being wiped off, right? When we're engaged. Yeah. What was that that gets wiped
Conditionings.
Off?
Conditionings.
Oh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so sentiments are not bad because they facilitate absorption, and that absorption helps to wipe off our conditioning, would you say?
Yeah. Purification is faster when our absorption is greater.
Yes.
And our absorption is greater when we like that activity more.
Uh-huh. Right.
And liking to that activity depends on our conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Yukta Vairagya, actually.
Yeah. Okay, Prabhu. Or actually dovetailing, right? Technically?
Yeah, dovetailing.
Uh-huh. Okay, Prabhu, thank you so much.
Okay, there is a question in the chat box. If we force ourselves to engage in services we don't like forcefully, is our purification faster? I've heard this, but I have not read it anywhere. And I am not completely convinced of it also. Rather, I would rephrase it this way. If we engage in an activity which our spiritual master may like, because of our love towards our spiritual master, even though we may not like that activity so much, then because we are engaging in that activity due in order to give pleasure to a very exalted devotee of the Lord, that may give us purification faster. Not because we engage in some activity which we do not like. That I don't is a very valid argument. And I have not seen it any. So it is the responsibility of the superior to engage the subordinate in those activities in which he may like, so that he can perform those activities with greater absorption and undergo greater purification, so that he may develop a greater level of surrender where he might want to do any activity which will please the spiritual master. So therefore, say that you engage in services which you don't like forcefully, greater purification will happen. I don't think so, actually. I really don't think so. That sounds very odd to me, and I have not read it anywhere, actually. I'm sorry. But I've heard it many times from people. But it never struck a chord with me for some reason. And I don't think it's completely correct also. Anyways, let's move on. So the 30th limb is Archanam, deity worship. Shuddhi Nyasadi Purvanga Karma Nirvaha Purvakam Archanam to Upacharanam Sya Mantrena Upapadanam. Okay. So there is another question in the chat box. So basically, to please the Lord ultimately, even if you don't wish to do it or find it cumbersome, if you do it, that, yeah, of course, like we want to eat meat, let's say. So if but eating meat is certainly not a devotional activity, and it is not an activity which pleases Krishna, right? So therefore, we are not talking about that. But within those activities which please Krishna, to engage in those activities for which we have a natural liking is not wrong. But we need not be attached to doing only those activities which we like. Sometimes we like a personality very much. So sometimes we may compromise on doing some activities which we may not like, but that personality likes, so that we can gain the favor of that personality. So if we like our spiritual master, and out of love for our spiritual master, we may sometimes engage in. So see, this is the dynamics. We, out of love for our spiritual master, the disciple wants to sometimes engage which he may not like. In order to gain the favor of the spiritual master, he may do it. And the spiritual master, understanding that his disciple is in a very preliminary stage of devotional service, his faith is very fragile, he will he will engage that disciple in activities of devotional service according to his liking, so that he may perform them with more absorption, so that he may get purified more and develop a more deeper level of surrender. So this is the dynamics between the guru and disciple, or a subordinate and a very so when this dynamics is there, when the disciple is willing to perform some activities which are not like, but out of affection for the authority or guru, and the guru endeavors to engage the disciple in devotional activities of the disciple's choice, so that he may perform them with more absorption and get more quicker purification. This is the dynamics actually. And when this dynamics is there from both, then it is a recipe for very quick progress and purification. But if it flips, the authority wants to engage the disciple in activities which he does not like, for whatever reason, maybe thinking that if the disciple engages, or if the subordinate engages in activities which he does not, he will get quick purification. And the disciple or the subordinate is yearning to be engaged in performing activities of his liking, but his authority is not at all liking. Then what happens? Over a period of time, neither does purification happen to the subordinate, and rather than developing surrender, he becomes rebellious. This is what exactly happens actually. So, dynamics of surrender. Surrender is twofold. It is two-sided. It is not one-sided. Surrender, the responsibility of surrender, is as much the person who is surrendering is as much responsible to surrender as much the person to whom he is surrendering. It is his responsibility to command that surrender through. So surrender is two-sided. It is never one-sided. So therefore, it is a two-sided dynamics. So when the subordinate, a kind of mood is expected from the subordinate, but that kind of mood should be commanded from the authority through his performing his duty properly. So in that way, it becomes a two-sided surrender like that. Anyways, we will continue our discussion. So the 30th limb is Archanam, or deity worship. So what is deity worship? First, Srila Rupa Goswami defines. So he says, Shuddhi Nyasadi Purvaka Karma Nirvaha Purvakam Archanam to Upacharanam Sian Manam. He says, what is Archanam? Archanam means Upacharanam Upapadanam, offering items, Shodasho Upacharas. So there are 16 items which are offered, right? Mantrena, along with chanting the mantra. So there are specific mantras for offering each of the items, right? So when you offer these items along with mantras, and then there are some purvanga karmas, there are some preliminary introductory activities, like what? Like Shuddhi, Nyasa, etc. Like Bhuta Shuddhi, Nyasa means certain piquetry activities, right? So purifying the body, purifying the consciousness. So these are done by this Bhuta Shuddhi, Nyasa. These are the activities by which you purify your external, you purify your internal, and then through mantras, you offer these 16 more items to the Lord. That process is called as Archanam. Shuddhi Nyadi Purvanga Karma Nirvaha Purvakam Archanam to Upacharanam Syad Mantrena Upapadanam. So that means offering items with mantra after introductory activities such as Bhuta Shuddhi and Nyasa. Right. So Srila Jiva Goswami explaining this, he says, Shuddhi here refers to Bhuta Shuddhi, purification of the elements of the body. Nyasa refers to the nyasa such as Matrika Nyasa. I don't know what Matrika Nyasa is. Please do not ask me. I do not know. Even Nyasa also means, you know, when you are applying Kilak to your body, you know, with, you know, Keshwaya Nama, Narayana Nama, Madhavaya Nama, Govinda Nama, that when you are applying Tilak to various parts of your body, you chant the name of the Lord, and that chanting the name of purifies that part of your body. That is also a kind of Nyasa. Right? So, he says, these other actions, that is Purvanga Karma, are performed prior to the offering of items such as lamb and flowers to the deity. Because when you have to offer flowers, lambs and other things to the deity, first the items should be purified, and you yourself, your body and consciousness should also be purified. The false ego has to be purified. For example, one of the purificatory mantras that we chant before performing deity worship is Naham Vipro Nachanarapati Napi Vaishyo Nashudro Naham Varni Nachagrahapati Na Vanasto Yatirva Kintu Prodhyan Nikila Paramananda Purnam Ritabde Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Dasa. So, this is actually purifying our false ego. Brahma, I am not a Kshatriya, I am not a Brahmachari, I am not a Grihastha. Who are you? I am servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. That consciousness we reinforce before offering anything to the Lord, because offering anything to the Lord should be in the mood of servant. So the mood of servant is actually purifying the false ego. So these are very important aspects of Purvanga Karmas. So Purvanga Karmas means preliminary activities which are to be performed for when you want to serve the Supreme Lord. And one of the most prolific things is to consider oneself to be the servant of Krishna. Because otherwise, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upaharitam ashnami prayatatmanaha. So Krishna, the most important thing is bhakti. That's why Krishna mentions the word twice, right? So therefore, there is cleansing of body, there is cleansing of the paraphernalia that we want to offer to the Supreme Lord, there is cleansing of our consciousness, cleansing of our ego. All these activities are called as Purvanga Karmas. Purvanga Karmas means preliminary activity. So when these preliminary activities actually prepare us in the right consciousness to actually approach the deity from the Lord and serve him. Right? So, and this kind of service is called as Archana. Offering of items with mantra along with these preliminary activities is called Archana. Okay. So, here he gives a proof from the 10th canto, 81st to substantiate this limb of devotional service, which is Archana. Swargapa vargayo pumsam rasayam bhuvi sampadam sarvasam api siddhyam moolam tat charana archanam. So he says, taha charana archanam. Worship of the lotus feet, the Lord's lotus feet, pumsam sarvasam api siddhinam moolam. Moolam means it is the root cause of sarvasam api siddhinam. Of all kinds of perfections a person can find, the root cause of all of it is archanam towards the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So what the verse says. So Srila Jiva Goswami comment here. So then the question arises, if the root cause of perfection of all the siddhis is archanam, then what about kirtanam? What about Shravanam? What about Atmanivedanam? Are they not the root cause? Is Archanam the only root cause? This question comes. So Srila Jiva Goswami gives a very important general principle in commenting on this verse. Please note it down very clearly. So he says, In this verse, chana is emphasized. Moolam tat moola charana archanam. In this verse, archana is emphasized and is thus mentioned as the moolam or root. Glorify it in comparison to processes other than bhakti. However, the greatness of the other angas of bhakti should be understood to be similar. So, we say, moolam ta charanchanam, there archanam is the representative of bhakti. We should not say, you see, this charana archanam only. He does not say shravanam. He does not say kirtanam. Therefore, archanam is superior to shravanam kirtanam. No. Whenever a particular limb of devotional service is glorified in the Shastras, one should understand that glorification to be actually a glorification of bhakti. And that limb is understood to be the representative of bhakti, rather than that limb is never mentioned to compare. A limb of bhakti is never compared with another limb of bhakti. In the Shastra, when a limb of bhakti is glorified, one should understand that glorification to belong to bhakti rather than that limb exclusively. So here archanam is glorified. Srila Jiva Goswami says archanam is the representative of bhakti here. If archana is absent, another anga of bhakti can be performed and fulfill the same function. Right? That is the understanding. Another verse is given from Vishnu Rahasya. Shri Vishnor Archanam Yetu Prakurvanti Narabhuvi Te Yanti Shashvatam Vishnor Andam Paramam Padam. Those men who perform Archana of Vishnu on this earth go to the eternal supreme place of Vishnu, which is full of bliss. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add?
Yes, Prabhu, on this last point, you know, since, you know, these limbs are meant to be representative of bhakti and not meant to be, you know, exclusively exalted, then it just makes me wonder, well, how did he single out archanam, for example, as the representative? Why didn't he single out one of the other, you know, limbs as representative?
Well, here in this particular verse, the word archanam is there. There are many other verses in Bhagavatam or other literatures where Shravanam is glorified, where Kirtanam is glorified, where Atmanivedanam is glorified. So in the particular context of that particular pastime, maybe Archanam was the focus, therefore Archanam was mentioned. But in some other episode where Shravanam is glorified, sometimes Smaranam can be glorified. So all of them, So for the generic principle is mentioned here. Here, Archanam is glorified. Here, Archanam is taken to be the representative of bhakti. But elsewhere, when Shravanam is glorified, that Shravanam is the representative of bhakti. Like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. If there are no further discussion points or questions, we will move on to the next limb of devotional service, which is called as Paricharya. For our purpose, mostly Paricharya and Archanam are... There are some slight differences between Paricharya and Archanam. Let us see. Paricharya to Seva Upakaranadi Parishkriya tata prakirnaka chatra vaditra adyair upasana. So what is this paricharya? He says, paricharya to seva upakaranadi parishkriya. Paricharya consists of decorating the Lord with different items. Tata upasana and worshipping the Lord. How? Prakirnaka chatra vaditra adyaihi. Kirnaka means chamara. Chatra means umbrella. Vaditra means music. So paricharya consists of decorating the Lord with different items, worshipping the Lord with chamara, umbrella, music and other items. This is called as paricharya. So Srila Ajaya Goswami says, this can be considered part of archana, but is listed separately since these activities can be performed without the preliminary rites of purification. Without purvanga karmas, paricharya can be performed. Right? So, paricharya means serving the Lord like a king. There are two types, decorating with items and worshipping with chamara and other such paraphernalia. So, these are the two types of paricharya. So, paricharya also for our purpose, more or less, you know, we don't have to make a very distinct differentiation between paricharya and archanam. More or less, you know, it is like the same. So, describe or give a proof for the potency of this limb, Srila Rupa Goswami quotes from the Naradiya Puran. It says, Muhurtam va muhurtardam yas nishtha hari mandire sayati paramam sthanam kim o shushrushane rataha. So, he says, Yaha tishted hari mandire, one who remains in the temple of the Lord, muhurtam va, for one muhurta, muhurta ardham, or even for half a muhurta, sayati paramam sthanam. He goes to the supreme abode. If one just stands in a temple for a short while, he becomes qualified to go to the supreme abode. What then to speak of a person who is engaged in the paricharya of the Lord? Kimu shushrushane rataha. Rataha means attached to, engaged in, right? Shushrushane means paricharya. Paricharya means menial service. So if one just merely stand a temple, if he becomes qualified to go to the supreme abode of the Lord, what then to speak of a person who actively is interested in engaging in serving the Lord? So this verse is quoted by Srila Rupa Goswami to establish the superiority of this limb of paricharya. Another verse is quoted from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yatpada seva bishes tapasvinam ashesha janmo pachitam malam diya sadyakshinotyan vahame dati sati yatapadangushta vinisrita sarit. He says, yatapada angushta vinisrita sarit. Sarit means river. Vinisrita means emanating. Angushta means the, or the toe. Yata pada angushta vita sarit. Just like Mother Ganga, which flows from the big toe of the Lord. Yat pada seva abiruchihi. A taste for serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Sadhyaha kshinoti. Immediately destroys. Diyaha malam. Malam means impurity. Diyaha means intelligence. Just as Mother Ganga is able to immediately cleanse a person's contaminated intelligence, similarly, a desire to serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord immediately destroys the contamination, the intelligence of the tapasvinam, of the performers of austerity. Ashersha janma upachitam, that contamination which one has accumulated over many, many lifetimes can be immediately destroyed by having a taste for serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Anvaham edati sati, and day by day that spiritual taste increases. Like that. So, here Srila Rupa Goswami says, Andani vividanyeva syuhu puja paricharya yoho na tani likitanyatra grantha bahulya bhititaha. So he says, Srila Rupa Goswami says, angani vividanya, even though there are many, many subdivisions, angani vividani syuhu, puja paricharya yoho, within the categories of, archanam and paricharya, there are many, many subcategories. Likitanyatra, but I am not mentioning each one of those sublimbs here in this book. Why? Granta bahulya bhititaha. Because I am fearful of making this book very, very voluminous. And the purpose of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is primarily to describe Bhakti Rasa, spiritual emotions. Therefore, 3/4 of the book talks about spiritual emotions. The first 1/4 talks about bhakti only so that it lays a proper foundation to discuss bhakti rasa for that purpose only. So therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami does not want to utilize, not that he does not want to elaborately describe about the various sublimbs of archana or paricharya, but he does not want to do it in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is primarily a book on Bhakti Rasa. So he wants to focus there for that purpose. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions before we move on to the next limb? Okay. Hari Prasad.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, one basic doubt. If this book is meant purposefully for a Gaudiya Vaishnavas or very serious devotees, even not only this book, even the Bhagavad, Srimad Bhagavatam, various other books were purposefully written for devotees. I mean, in that also, how come, if you remember, 60 volumes everywhere, the readers are expected that they are having some material desires, so that they can also take something from 64 regulative principles, and even Bhagavatam also some material benedictions are given. So I mean, you mentioned I think one time that why if Mayavadis why they will come to our books, generally they are interested in some other books. So only devotees only approach these books. So if their limbs are given with the fruitive, they're explained there also. So that also, I'm just thinking that, you know, why this?
Well, the nature of a book like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Bhagavatam, there is, even though the content is the same, but the nature of the book is slightly different. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami would only quote verses which are already presented in the Shastra, because they are accepted to be, the Shastras, Shruti and Smriti Shastra. So he will quote from Bhagavatam, he will quote from Padma Puran, Vishnu Puran, like that. Right. Now, the question is, why in the other Puranas, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, these kind of Phalashrutis are mentioned, when the book is primarily meant for practicing pure devotees only? So the point is, it is primarily meant for practicing pure devotees, but it also wishes to attract other practitioners who may not have pure devotional faith, but they may be willing to learn about their own practice from Srimad Bhagavatam, but graduate and attract and put your devotional service. With that purpose, it is mentioned.
Oh, thank you.
Is that? Yeah. Okay, there is another question in the chat box. Does the worship of Balakrishna at home fall under the limb of Paricharya? Yeah, yes, why not? Even though in our samaya, the mood is slightly different, but still worshipping Balakrishna is not, at least in the beginning stages, it is certainly favorable. One can do that. It also comes under Paricharya, yes. Okay. If there are no further discussion points, we will move ahead to the 32nd limb, which is Geetam. The Linga Puran says, Brahmano Vasudevakyam Gamano Nishamparam Harehe Salokyam Apnoti Rudra Ganadikam Bhavet. He says, even the Brahmana who sings continuously in front of Vasudev attains the planet of Vishnu. This singing is greater than Va himself singing. So, coming in front of the deities and singing for their pleasure is a very important limb of devotional service. So, this is considered to be greater than even Lord Shiva's singing, like that. So, this is the 32nd limb, Geetam. Any quick discussion points before we move ahead? Okay. Third is Sankirtanam. Sankirtanam means chanting. So what is Sankirtanam? Nama, Leela, Guna, Adinam, Uchair Bhasha to Kirtanam. There is a difference between Japa and Kirtan. What is the difference between Japa and Kirtan? Japa means Mantrasya Su Lagu Uchcharo Japa Abhidiyate. Later Krishna Rupa Goswami will say. When you chant a mantra very softly, almost inaudibly, that is called as japa. What is kirtanam? Nama, leela, guna, adinam, uchair bhasha. Uchair bhasha means loud chanting of the names, pastimes and qualities of the Lord is called as japa. In the strictest sense, if you see, our chanting of Gayatri will fall under the category of japa. In the strictest sense. But our chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, even in japa beads, actually will fall under the category of Kirtanam. Because it is Uchair Bhasha. Nama Leela Guna Adinam Uchair Bhasha to Kirtanam. Because we generally chant loudly. Right? So we will, there is one hand up. There was one hand up. It has gone down now. But we'll just see these three types of Kirtanam. Nama Kirtan, Leela Kirtan, Guna Kirtan. So there are three types of Kirtan. We will see these three types of Kirtan and then we will take some discussion points. First, he quotes from Vishnu Dharma about chanting the name of the Lord, Nama Kirtanam. Krishneti Mangalam Nama Yasya Vachi Pravartate Basmi Bhavanti Rajendra Mahapataka Kotayaha. It says, O Rajendra, O King, Yasya Vachi Pravartate, he who chants Krishneti Mangalam Nama, the auspicious names of Lord Krishna, Basmi Bhavanti Mahapataka Kotayaha. Millions of sinful reactions are turned into ashes just by chanting the auspicious name of Krishna. This is a proof that is given by Srila Rupa Goswami for Namakirtan, chanting of the name of the Lord. He quotes a verse from the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, prayer of Prahlad Maharaj, to establish Leela Kirtan. Soham priyasya suhrida paradevataya leela katastavandra simha virincha geetaha anjastitarmyanu grinan guna vipramukto durganite padayugalaya hamsa sangaha. He says, O Narasimha, te padayugalaya hamsa sangha, taking association of persons who take shelter of your lotus feet and Leela Katha Anugranan, and hearing your Leela Katha, hearing the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, Priyasya Suhridaha Paradevataya. So hearing your pastimes from devotees in Dasyaras, Sakyaras and Madhuryaras, Virincha Gita, which are glorified even by Brahmaji, Guna Vipramukto, by this chanting and hearing of your Katha, I will become free from material attachment. Aham Anjahat Vidharmi. By becoming free from material attachment, I will easily overcome my feelings of separation from you. If I feel separation from you, to overcome those feelings of separation, I will actually engage in discussing pastimes, Leela Katha. And by that, I will easily overcome my separation from you. So this is a proof that is given for Leela Kirtan. The third is Guna Kirtan, glorifying the qualities of Krishna. A verse is quoted from the first canto of the chapter. Idam hi pumsas tapasa shrutasya va svishtasya suktasya cha buddhi dattayoho avichyutortha kavibir nirupito yaduttama shloka gunanu varnanam. So a question in the chat box. Am I sharing my notes or PPT? Yes, my notes and PPT every day for those of you who are in either the BSD Bhakti courses group, or if you are specifically attending only Bhakti Aloka, then Bhakti Aloka notes are posted in the Telegram. But if you are attending my other courses also, then in the BSD Bhakti courses info group, every day, the next day, the previous day notes, YouTube links, everything is shared. Okay. So, Guna Kirtan. So, he says, Avichyutortha, the unfailing cause of perfection from men's austerity, study of the Vedas, performance of sacrifice, chanting of mantras, practicing jnana and giving charity. When all of that, in performing all of that, the real cause of success of all these things is Uttama Shloka Gunanu Varnanam, glorifying the qualities of the Lord. Again, you see here, Guna Kirtan is the representative of Bhakti actually. So one should not say, he said that instead of glorifying the qualities of the Lord, if I glorify the name of the Lord, will I not get that result? Yes, you will get it. If I hear about the glories of the Lord, will I not get that result? Yes, you will get. If I worship the deities of the Lord, will I not get that result? Yes, you will get. So here, Uttama Shloka Gunanu Varnanam. And in the previous verse, Leela Katha Anugranan, hearing the Leela Katha. And in the previous verse, Nama Kirtanam. So these are all representatives of Bhakti actually. Like that. Okay. Mother Gail.
Yeah, one thing was the japa versus kirtan. Mm-hmm. You know, normally, as you say, we do it loudly, so it's the chanting is qualified as kirtan. So yeah. Is it only when it's in the mind that is japa, or is it as a whisper? At what point does it become japa?
Yes, in the next limb it is mentioned. Even though we will see this limb next time, but I will just read it for you. Mantrasya su lagu uccharo japa iti abhidiyate. Japa is defined as a very soft chanting of mantra, which is almost inaudible. Chanting of mantra is actually, that is what is like you chant your Gayatri mantra. It is not audible even to yourself. You know, you are just chanting in your mind. Ideally, that is called as japa, actually.
Oh, so mind level, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, not even soft whisper.
Yeah.
Wow. And, one thing I missed, there's a word you said I didn't catch when you were bringing Lord Shiva in connection to
Yeah, it is better than even Lord Shiva offering Rudragaanadikam Bhavet. This is the one. Yeah.
Yes.
This singing is greater than by himself singing. Yeah.
Is when a devotee sings to the deities is better than when Shiva does what?
When Shiva himself sings. I don't know the context of this verse, so I would not like to comment on this. So, what is the context of this verse?
Anyway, that was all.
Lord Shiva is singing. Is a devotee singing greater than? Yeah, yeah. I don't know exactly in what context it is.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it was just this word singing. I didn't catch the words, and the word was singing. Yeah. So, thank you. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so I think we will pause here. It's already 4 minutes past 9. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion again next Wednesday, 7 p.m. So till then, you have a very pleasant week and weekend ahead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad ki jai, Shri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu ki jai, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki jai, Shri Bhakti Aloka ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.